Morning all, Tuesday, April 13, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning, wherever you are listening. Apologies, just a couple of minutes late. We are at Trackwork with the Stars at Royal Randwick this morning, ahead of day two of the championships on Saturday. And it's had a couple of technical difficulties there. We were outside on what is a very brisk autumn morning, but thank goodness Clarky bought his van so we could move everything in here. How are you, pup?
Seriously, morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. How cozy are we? We're in the Sky Winnebago, and I've got the kiddies chair in the corner. You two right there?
Feel like
Loz is in the suite. You've got your feet up, and I'm in the baby seat in the bottom left corner.
Morning, boys. Bit chilly. Great to be in the Winnebago. Great to be at Trackwork with the Stars. Now, in all honesty, it's good to be out here at Randwick. We witnessed a sensational day of racing on Saturday, day one of the championships, and day two this weekend, with the Queen Elizabeth Stakes being the highlight, and some great horses we're about to see run around again, and very elegant and adabe. See whether they can continue their battle, which they've had over the last 18 months. And Dave got the best of Very Elegant last year, but only a couple of weeks ago, Very Elegant turned the tables on a Dave, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. But most people thought it was going to be a two-horse race, but that's not the case anymore. There's a few other horses that'll put a little bit of tempo maybe in the race, but also be a lot more competitive than what we first originally thought.
Yeah, certainly the win of Sir Dragonair, the Cox Plate winner in the Tancred Stakes a couple of weeks ago, he put his best foot forward, and he'll be working later this morning as well for the Mar Eustace camp. The likes of Colette will be working ahead of the Queen of the Turf for Godolphin, plenty of others as well, so we'll have quite a few participants rolling in, and we'll have a chat to them throughout the morning. Stacks of news around in rugby league world. Also yesterday, off the top, right at the end of the show yesterday, we were watching Hideki Matsuyama trying to close out the Masters, and he did just that. So the 29-year-old became the first Japanese male to win a major at Augusta. He finished 10 under, and he beat Will Zalatoris by just one shot in the end. So did it tougher than what it looked, considering he led by six at one stage in the final round. And it's being floated the win could make him a, well, very, very wealthy man indeed, Loz. The word billionaire being thrown around.
Well, he's the first Japanese golfer to win a major, and what a performance it was from him. And, you know, we know that, you know, in that country in particular, they get right behind their sports stars. And it was, you know, it's a golfer's dream, isn't it, to put on that green jacket and to win the Masters. And obviously he played some terrific golf. You know, it's a memory that he'll have for a long, long time. He'll go back home, and you can only imagine the celebrations when he goes back there, even though it's COVID-restricted. But they are talking about him being the flag bearer now at the Olympic Games later this year, and what a great honour that would be for him.
And Cowboy from Hell on the text line writes, morning, fellas. Matsuyama, too brave, too good. If Shoffley hadn't put it in the drink on 16, who knows? He was coming. Proud of Leash and Smith, but neither could get going, really. Not as exciting watching it on replay. Won't be doing that again. Stay home into the future. So Cowboy from Hill writes in. Also, there's a great picture going viral at the moment on social media of Matsuyama on a flight from Atlanta to Chicago, or waiting in the departure lounge. And he's just sitting there with his mask on in the departure lounge at Atlanta, backpack on, and just the green jacket behind him, just sitting over the back of a chair. I mean, come on, surely when you're in the Masters, maybe you're flying first class.
All the lounges must be closed, surely. And he must have a little roped-off area there as well. But yeah, it's pretty cool, that. Oh, you think they give him a bit of a, like a jacket cover or coat hanger or something to carry it on as well. Like, he's just got it chucked over the chair like a normal suit jacket. But yeah, that's the real world, you know. It's where we sit. He's achieved so much, unbelievable performance, and you know, on one hand we talk about he goes back home and in time could be a billionaire because of what he's just achieved, but then yeah, you do, you get on a plane, you're like, you stick your mask back on, you sit in the corner, you social distance, you know, into the real world. So that's the way it is.
Stacks of rugby league news around, and well, certainly the Cronulla situation is at the forefront of that. So our man, the Bulldog, big exclusive yesterday, last night for the Telegraph, the Cronulla's looking to entice Cameron Seraldo to the club to be assistant to Craig Fitzgibbon in somewhat of a package deal. It's hoped they'd attract marquee players. And now this is something that Paul Kent on NRL 360 last night said that John Morris is struggling to do. That's his mail anyway. Made me think actually hearing that. Like Cam McInnes is one player they did sign.
Well, they haven't had an opportunity. They haven't had an opportunity to sign players. That's the issue. They haven't had opportunities to sign players because their salary cap has been so far out of whack. So they can say that John Morris hasn't been able to attract players, but what's he going to attract them with? $2.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways. The club saying, well, he can't attract players. He hasn't been given an opportunity because he's got no money. If he had money, let's judge him on what he can attract then. But they've made their decision. Yeah, the thing that I'm uncomfortable with, they haven't been transparent with him one bit. Mm. I saw him with Denny Wilder last night, and he was quite confident that he was still keeping his job. Yet this looks like it's been done ages ago. And again, I said yesterday, I've got no issue with the fact that they're an aspirational club. They want to finish top four every year. I get that, I understand that, and good on them for wanting to achieve that. I think that's great. And they're going and targeting the two best young coaches in the game at the moment. But for God's sake, can't you just be transparent to the poor bugger who's in charge and say, mate, this is what we're doing. We're going after these two people because we think they're a better fit for us. If we don't get them, then you're next in line or you're going to finish up at the end of the season. At least tell him. I don't know why you'd string someone on if you're going to get rid of him and you're not being upfront and honest with him. Because what's to say that that's how you're going to treat your next coach if things go pear-shaped?
Yeah, and Buzz tweeted last night that there is strong mail. Well, I'm reading from Buzz's Twitter here. There is strong mail. Meza Testa is in the Sharks CEO, and Mace, the Sharks chairman, want John Morris to leave now and bring in a caretaker. Talk about destroying a season. This is disgraceful, Buzz says. And this is spiralling out of control.
Well, I reckon they've just used him as a stopgap from day one. They've said, rightio, we've got bigger plans, but we're not going to tell you the plans. You just come and coach last year, do your thing this year. We're doing all this stuff behind your back, and when we get what we want, you'll be out the door. So, but, yeah, it's the same beef I've got all the time. Like, we're so critical of players for upping and leaving clubs. We go so hard on where's the loyalty and where's the one club player and where's the love and respect for, you know, what this club has done for you, give you an opportunity and pay you so much money, yet that's exactly the same. The clubs will flick the player or flick the coach anytime they want, whatever suits them as well. So no one, no club can ever complain about a player's loyalty because it goes both ways. This is a great example. Imagine sitting in John Morris's shoes. All this going on behind your back, no idea. I don't care what sport or what business. That's not how you work. That's a scar for John Morris that if I'm him, you turn around to the Sharks for the rest of your career and say, shove it up your backside.
She's handling himself well.
He's been brilliant as well. He's been brilliant.
Yes, Sharks circling coaches. Headline on the back page of the Daily Telegraph, back page of the Herald. Serraldo sounds out Panthers about release to join Fitzgibbon at Sharks. So that article saying that it's all been made official as far as, well, Cameron Serraldo's gone to Penrith and said, yes, I've had this approach from Cronulla, and Penrith reportedly set to give Cameron Serraldo their blessing should he end up joining Craig Fitzgibbon and the Sharks from next season. And also on the back page of The Australian.
It's an interesting one, though, for Cameron Serraldo. Mm. I mean, he's at Penrith now in a very successful system. They're on the verge of being a real powerhouse in the game for a number of years now. They've got a young, developing squad that's been to a grand final, favourites to win this year's grand final, and the likelihood of having sustained success. Yet you go into the Sharks with a roster that's not as good, learning your trade, which I think is fantastic if he doesn't feel like he's ready to coach just yet or wants to go down the path of Craig Fitzgibbon, and that is to learn as much as you can and then have the pick of the jobs when the time is right. But by doing that, you're certainly putting yourself out there, because if you don't have the success that you're after when you go to a new club, where does that leave you then? Because the boom certainly goes off you pretty quickly. So if you're at an established environment, like Craig Fitzgibbon has been at the Roosters under Trent Robinson and learnt his trade and had that success all the way through, well, he is going to get the next job. But for Cameron Seraldo, now being at Penrith, being in that system where he'll have success, if he stays there, he'll always have the pick. He'll always have the pick of what jobs come up. But if he goes to Cronulla for 3 years and they don't have the success that they're after and they struggle, which can happen, there's no guarantee that getting these two young guys together, it's just going to turn the Sharks around and be, you know, top four every year and winning competition. Doesn't work like that.
Look,
then the halo on Seraldo comes off a bit.
Do you think they're doing this as much for attracting new players as they are saying these two are going to be, this combination is going to be,
I think it's
a Craig Bellamy or a
yeah.
Wayne Bennett?
Oh,
in
no,
time?
I think they're doing it because it does sound attractive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a young bloke going there, you've got two of the best young coaches in the game. You've got an opportunity to start afresh. They've got plenty of money available to them next year to buy players. Mm. And it's something different for Sharks supporters. They can go, well, this is the new direction the club's going in, and to give us hope that we can challenge for a competition and be top four, because that's what they're being promised. Mm. That's what they're being promised. So, and again, I get back to the fact, I got no problem with the Sharks going and targeting the best people, because I think that's great business. Mm. The issue I have is I just want to see people being more transparent, because I've been there myself, and you guys have all been there.
Yeah.
When you get told one thing, and yeah, you know, something else happens. It's not nice. It's not nice.
Yeah. Back page of the telly as well. Renault Rescue. Taumalolo declares Rabbitohs playmaker can fill void left by JT. And Loz, we spoke to Jason Taumalolo after the show yesterday, and we'll replay that interview after 6 o'clock this morning. It was interesting talking to him about Origin and the fact he feels like he's also a Queenslander, and he's views on Todd Payton as well. But here in this article, he's talking about, well, one thing they've lacked since Thurston left the club is a real game manager in the halves. And you've been saying for weeks now in regards to Adam Reynolds, these sort of players are hard to find.
They're hard to get mid-out. You can have the best young talent in the game, but until they're put under pressure and you see what they do on big stages and see where they can control the tempo of the game, you just don't know. You don't know what you're going to get. At least with Adam Reynolds, you know he's the glue that keeps that South Sydney team together. He allows Mitchell to play the way that Latrell wants to play. He allows Cody to do what he wants to do. And he allows Cook to run out of dummy half. Cookie can do what he wants to do. Yet he brings them back to centre if they're getting out of line. And that's the style of football that he plays. If you get four Adam Reynolds in your team, it's probably not going to work. But if you get people in and around that have different capabilities and have different strengths, he'll fit into any football team. And game management is so important. So important to have
Tigers
a bloke there
him.
That can control a game, the tempo of a game.
Tigers need him. If I'm West Tigers, I'm doing whatever I can to get Adam Reynolds. I reckon that's exactly what the Tigers need. Someone to control the pressure moments and give the team some structure. I reckon he's the ideal player for the Tigers to go as hard as they know. And again, I've never been a fan of that, you know, spend all your money on one player in any sport. It's a team sport, so you need a good, you know, a good balance. But I reckon Adam Reynolds is probably the only thing right now that can help the Tigers over the next few years get into that top eight.
I'm not paying silly money, by the way, but I'm paying very good money to get Adam.
Are you paying $700,000 or $800,000?
I'm not paying him $1 million, but I'm paying him $750,000.
A 3 year deal? If you're the Tigers or Cowboys?
I would pay him three.
Yeah.
I'd give him 3 years.
$700,000 for 3 years.
Yeah, I'd give him three.
I reckon it'd be worth that for the Tigers.
You
know,
I might say, well, why don't we give you $750,000, $800,000 for two? Over two, you know, 1.6 over 2 years. I definitely go and get him if I was a Brisbane Cowboys, Tigers. There's probably other clubs out there that I can't think of off the top of my head at the moment, but they're three that stand out to me. And I just see those teams being in desperate need of a halfback that can just control a game.
$800,000 sounds all right when Anthony Milford's on close to $1 million, and we'll get to Milford after he is set to be dropped for the match against Penrith for the Bronx on Thursday night. While we're on Adam Reynolds, back page of the Herald, one more year. So South's planning to offer Benji Marshall a new deal if Adam Reynolds decides to leave the club. And Benji, that would be a 20th season if he goes ahead next year.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
At times he's looked gone.
But again, you've got to think about how Benji will have impact. Benji can have impact at the moment because he can play in and out of the team and coming off the bench, and everyone can do that type of role.
Yeah.
Put Benji in there for 26 weeks and then finals football and then see how he's going. Mm. That's the difference at the moment, Middo, with Benji. The role that he's got, the role that he'll play at South is perfect.
Mm. Yeah,
because agreed. He doesn't have to play 26 rounds. He doesn't have to do all the work. You know, he's only playing a little bit here and there. Mm. It's different when you get to that age and a lot more responsibility. You're putting pressure on your body. And, you know, Benji has struggled for the last few years. And the reason is because he's been that type of player.
This role's perfect as well.
Mate, that's the super sub role for Benji. Yeah. It's just absolutely dynamic for him.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It reinvigorates him, gives him a sense of, you know what, I can create and do something for this team that they probably haven't had for the last couple of years. I give them cover, but I also can come on and provide another attacking option for them. And they've got plenty. But if you're looking after Latrell and you're looking after Cody and you've got Damien Cook there as well, I might be able to just find a little position over here where no one's watching me and provide some spark for this team when all the other bases are covered.
Also, back page of the Herald, Man United in bid to buy A-League's Mariners. And we've got Robbie Slater later this morning after 8:30. We'll have a chat to him about this. So according to this report, United are in talks to purchase the license of the Central Coast Mariners and, this is the key part for Mariners fans, relocate the club to Sydney. So this is all to play out, but that would be, of course, very, controversial, to say the least. Any relocation causes huge dramas, but look, if Man United buy the license, they can do as they please, provided they get A-League approval, but I'm sure Mariners fans, particularly as they're having a resurgence this season, wouldn't be too happy about that. But we are at track work with the Stars this morning at Royal Randwick. The sun just coming up here. Beautiful morning. Very cool morning, to say the least. We're in Clarkie's Winnebago. Clarkie, could have given it a clean for us. Mate, seriously, what's going on
wait
here?
Wait till I see Dave Stanley. Number one, he's got me. I'm sitting in the kiddie seat in the left corner, back seat, and I've got croissant all over the chair. What's this about? You can't just leave your mess on the chair.
And there's no spare croissants. And Loz, that Loz's banana
you've got a 15-year-old banana. That's shared breakfast for three of us. Look at it.
That'll be all right when I start hoeing into it about 7.
Mate, it's a little black.
I won't care what it looks like. It is a bit dark. But anyway, not going to get rid of it.
No, we've got to share. That's all we got, mate, for the next 3 hours.
Coming up after 6 o'clock, we'll replay that interview that we did yesterday after the show with Jason Taumalolo, the Cowboys lock. Plenty coming up this morning. We are at Royal Randwick.